Now we're going to shift our attention to one of my friends and favorite guys, all around, you know, kind of jack of all trades and entrepreneur and good, sincere husband and father and political operative, David Lane. He is the founder and CEO of the American Renewal Project, and perhaps you read an op-ed that he wrote for Time magazine that was published online, getting a lot of comments and reposts across the blogosphere. Why Donald Trump's dream Veep is Newt Gingrich. So welcome, David Lane, to News Radio 1040 WHO. How are you?
Hey, Jamie, thank you for having me. I'm doing tremendous in California this morning.
Well, it's probably going to be a beautiful day in California since it's July, and in some ways I'm jealous because I can't see the sun right now, but I'm sure these clouds will burn away sometime. Donald Trump's dream Veep is Newt Gingrich, you say, in a Time magazine op-ed, a very well-written, well-reasoned op-ed. Perhaps people listening to the program haven't read it yet. You can just go to timemagazine.com and just type in Trump, Newt, or David Lane's name, and it'll come up. Very interesting, because you're taking a path here, David, that some Christians, some what we call values voters, are a little nervous about because they don't see Newt Gingrich as necessarily the embodiment of a lifetime of proper behavior. But in a way, that's old news. It's water under the bridge. And you talk about that in your article. So unwrap that for us.
Well, let's begin here, which is that the Republicans said that if we would give them the House and the Senate, that they were going to storm the gates of hell with a water pistol. So Boehner got a hold of the House in 10 and McConnell in 14. And so at this point, from my distance, they haven't done anything. So the reason that Newt, I don't think that Newt's like you and I don't think that he's perfect. But I think that Newt did have a turn of his life in 2007. And that, Dr. Tim LaHaye said to Dr. Falwell before, I was an assistant to Dr. Jerry Falwell, lived in Lynchburg in 96 and 97, and Dr. Tim LaHaye said, Newt Gingrich is best prepared to be president. He may have forfeited his right to lead by the way he's lived his life, but he's best prepared to be president. And I believe that. And so as we're working through this, as you mentioned, I'm a believer. I'm a born-again Christian, political operative. I've been working my way through the book of Isaiah and in the last few months. And in Isaiah chapter 3, it's interesting, Isaiah wrote, see now the Lord of the armies, is going to take away Jerusalem and Judah, every kind of support of their entire supply of food and water. He will take their heroes and their soldiers and their judges and their prophets and fortune tellers and military leaders and civilian leaders and counselors. A judgment of God on a nation is the removal of military, political, and religious leaders on a nation that has left him. And he leaves the nation with docile, weak leadership. That's where I think that America is at this point.
And so you see that passage from the prophet Isaiah written thousands of years ago as applicable to any nation that wants
right.
sound public policy in its prosperity and its desire for national security. If they violate certain rules, then they're going to pay the price.
Well, a nation that was founded, the first document, the Mayflower Compact, before they debarked from the boat, they wrote, in the name of God, for the advancement of the Christian faith, it's easily defended that America was founded by Christians for the advancement of the Christian faith. And where the Bible was the key principal component of education, Proverbs 1:7, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The principal part of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. So we've left the Lord. And at this point, it says that you're going to be, this is the Lord saying, I will give you children as your princes, and babes shall rule over you. So here we are, Barack Obama, Eric Holder, Valerie Jarrett, Susan Rice, Hillary Clinton, Van Jones, Sotomayor, Kagan. We're being ruled by children.
Hmm.
So,
and you see Newt as an individual who has a mind that is historically grounded, but also theologically well-versed to to bring certain moral principles in, or to bring historically proven principles in of statecraft then?
I think that. I think Newt is, you know him as well as I do. So, and I, you know, I don't know. I assume I'm a friend of Newt. I would say he would say I'm a friend of his. I think Newt, when he walks into the room, and I don't care which room, he's the smartest guy in the room. So he's, you know, he manufactured the turnover of the House in 94 after 40 years of the Democrats controlling it. And then, and then after sort of a collapse, he on nationwide radio to Dr. James Dobson in 2000, I mentioned this in the article, in 2007, said publicly, nationwide, I've gotten on my knees and sought God's forgiveness. So it's not the matter of the lesser of two evils. It's who's going to do the least damage to America at this point. If you ask me, what's Donald Trump going to do? I don't have a clue. I do know what Hillary's going to do. She's going to stack the court with progressives, that we're going to lose our Second Amendment right to bear arms. We're going to lose our religious freedom. What they did to Kim Davis in Kentucky was a warm-up act.
Mm-hmm.
Once that Hillary Clinton has stacked the court with 2 to 3 more secularist liberal judges who are going to impose now homosexual marriage on the nation, and transgender bathrooms is just the beginning of what the Supreme Court will bring forth under a Hillary Clinton administration.
What do you think the perspective of someone like Donald Trump is right now as far as the prospects of him choosing someone like Newt Gingrich as his running mate? Would you say it's a over 50-50 at this point? I mean, Gingrich has been with him the last 2 days.
Yeah, I don't think it's 50-50. I mean, the people I talk to think that probably it's down to 3. So I think there's a chance. In fact, everybody listening who believes, you know, what I'm saying or agrees with what I'm saying, I don't know, whatever the process that they feel like they go through, I would weigh in. That's what I did with this article in Time Magazine that they published yesterday or the day before. All I'm doing is weighing in, giving my opinion, and everybody listening in the audience and should do the same thing. If you have access to the process or to Mr. Trump, I don't know him, never met him, you should weigh in if you believe this, or weigh in for your guy or gal. I mean, I know that Joni Ernst is one of the gals also mentioned.
Yeah, actually, she just withdrew her name.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, in the last 24 hours, she said that she's respectfully bowing out and she's going to concentrate on serving Iowa in the Senate.
Good.
And Bob Corker also did that as well. So both Corker and Ernst are out now.
I saw Corker did it. I did not see Ernst. And I'm glad in the sense that she's been a leader in the Senate for Iowa. And as you know, I've been in Iowa mobilizing pastors since the fall of 2006. So there's a special love that I have for Iowans.
And we're going to talk about this after the traffic and weather break in a minute. But David Lane, tell people where they can go online to learn about the American Renewal Project.
The American Renewal Project website is AmericanRenewal.org.
And when they go there, they'll find resources to get involved from a faith-based perspective?
We've got a lot of things going. We've got a fasting and prayer event coming. We began in Texas with Governor Perry in 2011. Nobody knew who was going to be on stage. 30 or 40,000 people showed up fasting and praying for America, asking God for mercy.
Hmm.
Last year, 4 governors, Jindal in Louisiana, Nikki Haley, South Carolina, Pat McCrory, North Carolina, and Rick Scott in Florida hosted fasting and prayer events to Jesus. And then our next one is in Cleveland on July the 16th. And it's 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And, you can watch it. If you can't make it to Cleveland, you can watch it on the Internet. And I'll have in a second when we come back. How long is the break from now?
Just about 10 seconds from now. I'll tell you what. Let's take a quick time out for news, traffic, and weather. David Lane is my guest. He's founder and CEO of the American Renewal Project. I'm Jamie Johnson. You're listening to News Radio 1040 WHO. We're talking with David Lane, founder and CEO of the American Renewal Project. And David, one more question about Newt Gingrich. He was on stage with Donald Trump yesterday in the great state of Ohio. Rob Portman, the U.S. senator, was there. And there seems to be a coalescing around certain individuals, one of whom is Newt Gingrich, because, frankly speaking, I mean, let's just deal with the real world here of passing legislation and getting things done in Washington, D.C. on a legislative basis. Newt Gingrich was the last effective Republican Speaker of the House. And that was way back in the 1990s, and yet he hasn't gone away. He still is articulate, well-informed, and speaks on a multiplicity of issues, everything from the economy to jobs to national security to international trade. I mean, it's quite remarkable. So if you're right, and Newt Gingrich would be the wisest choice for someone like Donald Trump, he certainly would have a person next to him riding shotgun, running the nation in the executive capacity that the president and vice president do, who has a knowledge base that exceeds probably any vice president America has had since the 1800s. I mean, he really is an extraordinary student of history, what works, what doesn't, and what's doable.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's the most equipped today. He probably knows more about the process from day one when he takes over or steps in. He's able to execute an agenda of limited government, deregulation of business, lower taxes. The attitude, one thing that government can do for me is leave me alone. People, we want freedom. We want liberty. And so a pick like this by Donald Trump, to me, would say a lot in that, you know, it would say that Donald, we just talked about the perception that we're ruled and reign, you know, those that are reigning are children at this point. I mean, these are kids. And to me, a Newt Gingrich-type pick would say that Donald Trump is going to bring adults to the table to make America great again. And I think it goes through the military. It goes through foreign policy. I think it affects the whole deal. And that's why I think at this point, from my perspective, and, you know, I want Donald Trump to pick Newt Gingrich.
Yeah. If he doesn't pick someone like Newt, what about someone like Mike Huckabee? 10.5 years as a governor of an American state, someone who's very adroit on public policy issues. He's good on social issues. He's also very astute at understanding the threat of radical Islam. Would Mike Huckabee be at least within your universe of acceptable choices for VP?
Well, Mike Huckabee would be tremendous. As you know, I'm close to Huckabee. In fact, Jan Michelson, this would have been the fall of, I guess it was 13 or probably 13 or 14, we did the Reagan, Thatcher, Pope, John Paul tour. And 93 of us went to Krakow, Poland, and London, and the Reagan Library, and Governor Huckabee led that. Huckabee would be tremendous. And the thing he would do also is, from our perspective, or from my perspective, if you can't move evangelical, pro-life Catholic Christians, you're done politically.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's values are going to reign supreme. Our values, or if we stay home, the other side's values, and they're going to impose their will. And that's the people that sent them to D.C., or in this case, Sacramento, California. They're going to impose their will, and that's what's happening in California and in the nation, is evangelical Christians, pro-life Catholic Christians are staying home. We have to engage the culture. There's nobody perfect, nobody. Jesus said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. That took me out of the rock-throwing business a while ago.
Yes.
So we have to get engaged, though. We have to bring our people to the table. As you know, the other thing we're working on, by the way, I mentioned earlier, the AmericanRenewalProject.org is the website. But we're trying to get pastors who feel called of God to run for city council, county commissioner, school board, mayor, Congress. We have 200 pastors and 16 that are running for local offices.
200 pastors in the year 2016. This election cycle, you've got 200 pastors across the country?
Yeah, and we got another 200 that have committed to 17 and 18. So if the Lord does it, we're going to bring our people to the to the table. My pastor, Rob McCoy, Calvary Chapel, Thousand Oaks, ran in 14 for the assembly seat, lost barely out of 130,000 votes, and won the city council position last year in 15. So he sort of is the model or the prototype, and he's doing a tremendous job.
I'm glad you brought up city council, because a lot of individuals think, oh, I believe all the right things. The people are going to rally to me. I'm going to run for Congress. Bad move, unless you are worth a lot of money and can raise $1.5 million during the primary, chances are you're going to fail in that congressional bid, unless, of course, you are a household name, or there's nobody else running against you, or you're in such a deep red area. But all of those things, that's not the realm of reality. The reality is, you respect the process. And a lot of times to earn your stripes, to earn your credibility, and to earn the right that the electorate gives to people who they vote for Congress or the U.S. Senate or for governor, they want to see you do something beneficial in terms of municipal government or county government or perhaps the state legislature as a House of Representatives member or state senator. Don't reach for the brass ring on the first attempt, because you have to kill a bear and a lion like David did before you take on Goliath. That's the principle.
Exactly. And besides the part of governing that you mentioned, the other side would be like us building a business, is that nobody starts out running a multi-billion dollar business or a $100 million business. You start off and you accrue assets. You have to learn how the operation works. You have to lay the foundation. And it's the same thing in politics. You accrue name ID. You set up a fundraising structure so that you can raise the money. And you build constituencies. You know, politics is addition and multiplication, not subtraction and division. So you're building constituencies in the process. It's the exact same thing as building a business. You don't start off at the top. You start off at the bottom, and you build, and you work hard, and you put in 18-hour days. And then, you know, over time, you've built a really successful business. It's the same thing in politics. Start, you know, where you can win, mm-hmm. and then over time, as the Lord elevates you, you're pursuing Him. This is not about you; it's about Him.
One of the things I always tell individuals who are Christian conservatives and they want to run for office, whether they're a pastor or whether in some other vocational capacity, that if you don't show up at your regular county meetings, you're not going to get the mechanism behind you, the organization behind you, the people to knock on doors and put in yard signs. You have to show up at your local political party meeting. It might be in your city. It might be in your county. Find out the level. Start attending. Get in. Pitch in. Carry the water, become a part of the team, and understand you're not running as an individual. You're running as part of a team. And when you get the team behind you, you have a far greater chance of victory come election day. I'll tell you what, David Lane, it's been way too short having you on, but it's been great. Thanks so much for being my guest here on WHO. I'm Jamie Johnson, News Radio 1040 WHO.